Like to say good afternoon, everyone. Our Father God did it again. Yes, he blessed us with another time in the day to witness a portion of his word. Amen. So thankful for his blessing of life. For we know that with each breath of life is another opportunity to get it right. And see, God blesses us in spite of us. In other words, God blesses us not because of how good we are, but because of how great he is. And for that, we should be thankful. We should be thanking him often for his goodness, grace, and mercy. And I would like to take a moment to thank Brother Stroud for his invitation to proclaim the word of God unto you as an earthen vessel this afternoon. For that, I'm thankful. And I would like to thank many of you for your kind words of encouragement. And for that, I'm very appreciative. But we should continue to encourage one another often, because it just may be your presence or your kind words that can change a person's day. Amen. So I'm thankful for my Highland Heights family. And on this weekend, on yesterday, we had a great time at the fellowship. I want to thank Sister McNeil for heading that effort. But it was great to see everyone enjoying themselves in fellowship. In Ephesians 2:19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." So being able to fellowship with fellow citizens and the saints, the household of God, is very important. You know, Scripture says we're no longer strangers. We're no longer separated from God, because, you shouldn't be. And we should be ready to let our light shine and not grow dim. We must stay in fellowship one with another, fellowship with the saints and God's people. For we know that birds of a feather flock together, right? So your crowd and who you fellowship with can influence your life. And you may be on the call today and not a member of the Church of Christ. It is my prayer that something will be said on this hour that will challenge your thinking, so that you may ask, what must I do to be saved? And throughout this lesson, or at the conclusion of this lesson, I will give you those instructions. And as we get into today's lesson today, I'll be brief, because I know some of you may be, if you're not already, in your chairs and tuning in to the NFL Conference Championships game. But nevertheless, I might be like the Apostle Paul and preach to midnight. Would that be all right? I'm joking with you. But yeah, today, just for a few moments, today, January 29th, we are approaching the end of the first month of the new year. And I have a question for each of you. How many of you are still holding to your New Year's resolution? See, we often all get excited at the end of the year, looking forward to the new year, you know, setting goals. But what goals did you set to resolve for this year? And how are you doing with them now that we're almost a month in? And see, we often get excited in this world about new things, huh? Maybe a new car. You know, a new house, new clothes, a new job, maybe a new mate, a new church. But how long does those things stay new to you? And if you really think about it, what does all of this mean, or does this matter if you And when I say you, I'm speaking to myself as well. So what does all this matter if you are still the same person? And see, we often seek or want new things that we can feel, new things that we can see, and new things that we can touch. But let's just think about ourselves for a moment. No matter what you have on, no matter what you possess, or no matter what's around you, the real you will eventually come out and be revealed. And the truth will always be revealed. And again, I would ask, what are the things that you value in life? Well, what kind of person are you? And I ask these questions to get you to think a little bit and do some self-reflection. And how do you want people to view you? But matter of fact, how do you want God to see you? And I think this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to get us to realize here. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And see, the church there in Corinth, they were dealing with all kind of things in the church. They were dealing with division. They were dealing with immorality. They were dealing with adultery. And see, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth was to encourage them and to correct them in love, to encourage unity. And it wasn't just one sin that was prevalent and going on in the church at that time, but it was many sins. And those same shortcomings impact the entire body yet still today. Yes, there is still sin in the church today. Just think about how you act now compared to how you used to be. And like Paul, he wanted his fellow brethren and sisters to get it right. And I stand with Paul today to encourage each of us to reflect on ourselves and get it right. And see, Paul's attempt here in his letters to the Corinthian church, his attempt was to strengthen the faithful, to keep encouraging those who are faithful, and to give help and encourage others. And he wanted these people, he wanted his fellow brothers and sisters to remember the goodness of God and how we've all been delivered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 17, it reads, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And that's the title of my lesson on today, a new creature. But as we take a look at this letter that Paul is writing here, in the preceding verses, beginning in verse 11, see, Paul warns his fellow brethren and sisters to fear God. And he reminds them that God knows all things. There is nothing that we can hide from God. God knows what drives you. God knows what motivates you to act, say, or do the things that we do. God knows it. And he's saying in the scripture as well, and he says, and you do too. He said, but we are made manifest unto God. See, God knows all. And he said, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. See, he forewarns, the Apostle Paul forewarns in this letter about the false teachings, and he forewarns about how man may seek glory for his self's sake. And he reminds us that the glory belongs to God, and he reminds us that how Christ died for us. And that we should no longer live for ourselves. And Paul goes on here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16 and 17. Now he says, regard no man according to the flesh. He said, don't look at the outward appearance of a man to see what he has. He said, regard no man according to the flesh. And he goes on to say that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But what is this? What does he mean about this new creature? And see, a creature is a creation of God. So he is saying that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And see, when we become a new creature, I think of transformation. And see, in this new creature and this new transformation, the transformation that we have to make, this is a process of conversion, a process of change, and we must stay in this mindset of this transformation, changing, constantly changing for the good, inspired by the Word of God. He said, let the old things stay where they belong. Let those old things stay in the past. Keep them dead. Focus on the new path when you become a Christian. He says, keep pressing towards the mark. And we should continue in this transformation process by renewing daily. It's a choice that we have. And see, the word new, what does new mean? New speaks of that which is new in the form of quality. And the word creature, it speaks of a new creation, a new order or a new ordinance. So we have a new quality or a new ordinance. But what is this ordinance? See, we must obey the teaching of Christ. That's where it came from. It's nothing more or nothing less. See, there is no in between in this Christian journey. The way that we live our lives will tell. It will show in your walk. It will show in your words. It will show in your character. And just as Christ was made to walk, that he came here into this sin-cursed world, Christ was made, he came and walked in our shoes by the Holy Spirit. And see, we are made in his likeness. And when we obey that truth, it's by that same Holy Spirit. And that's how we have fellowship with him. And see, Paul is trying to remind us of that goodness, of that new creature, that how we were called out of darkness and called into light. But how did this happen? And he's trying to commit to the memory of us all. And I'm taking back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14. He reminds us of how we were all called by the gospel to that obtaining of glory. And see, we were all called the same way. It's the gospel that calls us. Because we all had a problem. Romans 3 and verse 23, it reminds us that he says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were dead to sin. We couldn't have a relationship with God when sin is in our life. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hands is not short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We all, at some point in time, was in this situation. In Romans 6 and verses 2, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So we needed a Savior. And Paul is reminding us in the preceding verses in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 there, that we had a Savior. God, Jesus died for our sins. And he commanded in Mark 16, 15 through 16, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. So we was a creature in God's creation before we even heard this gospel. So when that gospel is preached to that creature, it saves them. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth, if that creature believe, baptize him. And they shall be saved, should be saved. He that believeth not, that creature don't believe. God's creation, if he does not believe, you could be damned. But why the gospel? I'm sure, you know, we hear this story over and over again. And we should keep falling in love with him over and over again when we hear it. Because Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. See, the power is in the gospel. See, the transformation process starts with the gospel. The gospel is all we need to start a life new again. Because of the gospel, we can have a new beginning, regardless of what you've been through, regardless of how you used to live in the past. The gospel gives you an opportunity at a new beginning. And Paul is reminding us of that. He says, we were called the same way. We were pricked by this gospel, and we had to realize that we was in a state of sin and separated from God. So when we heard that gospel, it moved us to believe it. It moved us to repent, to want to change the way that we live our lives, want to change the way that we walk, to want to change the way that we talk. Why? Because our sins is what took him to that cross. And so when we repent and then we confess that he is the Son of God and was baptized. And why? For the remission of the sins. Revelation 1:5. See, now when those sins, when we baptize and contact the blood, and we can rise and walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and 3. See, when sins are washed, we are added to his church and we can walk in newness of life. And see, we've all obeyed that same thing. And maybe if you have not obeyed that gospel, you're here today and you still have an opportunity and you can obey that gospel. But all Christians go through this same process. And if you have not been, you still walking in your old ways. You the same creature that you have been since you came to this earth. And see, those that are Christian, we've all obeyed the same thing, and we're still here today as a brief reminder of his grace and mercy to bring us through all that we have been through and bless us to still be here today. In Romans 6:6 says that the old man, when we obey that gospel, that old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. And see, when we obey that gospel and as Paul says, we become a new creature in Christ, we must do some things as well. We must change the way we live. We must change what we eat. And when I say that, I'm talking about spiritually. Because in Peter, it tells us as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the word, thereby we may grow. We have to change the way we eat. See, sometimes we often spend more time on our physical well-being. You might be participating in the walk 30, walking 30 minutes a day. Do we make that same effort for our spirituality? How often are we eating? Do you read your Bible 30 minutes a day? You may have the goal to get more physically fit. So you go into the gym. But how much time are you spending trying to grow spiritually? What was your resolution for the new year? And as I mentioned on our call, the Tuesday lunch Bible hour, I said it should be, and the theme that I did propose, I don't know if it was turned in or not, but it was a more spiritual me in 2023. Can that be our theme? Could that be a theme for you? But if we become a new creature, we have to take off some of the old clothes. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 says that you have to put off the old man. See, when you come up out of the water, you rise and walk in newness of life, but you got to change some things about your surroundings. Maybe you don't want to wear those clothes anymore, so you got to throw them away. Maybe you don't want to be around the crowd that you used to, so you got to hit ignore on that cell phone when they calling you and inviting you back to the club. You got to put off the old man. In verse 23, it says, Ephesians 4:23, you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, righteousness and true holiness. See, we shouldn't be doing the same things that we did before. Why? Because we have been redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 31, we see many of the things that we need to take off. See, Paul is saying here, he says, you need to stop lying. If you call yourself new, stop lying. And if you want to be a new creation in Christ, he goes on to say, stop being angry. Stop stealing. You used to steal, stop stealing. And he's saying, and if you are a new creature in Christ, the things that will be embedded in your mind, you will stop the negative communication. What is the reason? By saying what you're saying. What's the reason that you're gossiping? Instead, Paul is saying, edify. Instead of being negative, try to encourage. And maybe we all could do a better job of that. Instead of talking about how bad something is going or what's going on, how about you do something to make it better or encourage? That's what Paul's saying. If you knew, or are you saying, are you putting on new clothes, walking in your old ways? Paul is saying, stop being bitter. Stop being angry and stop speaking evil. what's the motive behind the things that you say and the things that you do? What inspires you? Self-gratification, maybe? But if you're a new creature in Christ, that's not you're not going to be thinking about yourself. And see, there is a difference between being wrong and doing wrong. See, being wrong is unintentional. I may not know everything, but my intentions can be right. But doing wrong is intentional and not of God. And my message to you, brothers and sisters, on this hour is that we must be careful, because 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 3, that tells us that Satan wants your mind just like God wants you. See, Satan knows if he can get to the think tank, then he got you where he wants you. Because we know that it's the heart of man that defile a man. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And see, God wants your heart set on him. The scripture says, set your affection on things above. But he gave us a choice. See, the choice is yours of where you're going to set your heart. Romans 12:2, Paul says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, I didn't tell you earlier to conform. I said transform. We need to be in a process of transformation. See, don't conform. See, when you conform, you adapt to your surroundings. But when you transform, you convert or you change. So we must stay in this process of transformation. So in other words, we must keep changing for the better. Be better, do better. It's a choice. And when you change, guess what? Folk will acknowledge it. Have you ever heard someone say you changed? And say that you're not the same anymore. I know I've heard it from family and friends. But we often view that in a negative fashion. Well, at least I did previously. I didn't like hearing that because I felt they was talking about me. But let me ask you something. You know how you used to be, right? Your crowd, your company. You know how you was then. And you still hanging around some of them same old folk now. So if you still hanging around those same people and they haven't told you that you've changed, then you know your answer, huh? And as Brother Stroud would say, that might catch up with you later. But brothers and sisters, as I near to a close, I want to remind you that Jesus gave himself to make us a new creature. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if any man be in Christ, and notice he didn't say, if any man come to church on Sunday. He didn't say, if any man join these conference calls or gospel calls. Mm-mm. He didn't say, if any man told a Bible. Nah, he didn't say that. But he said, if any man be in Christ, And in order to be in Christ, he must first be in you. See, we live in a world that's ever changing. It's a new outlook on life when you're in Christ. Because the old things have passed away and all things are become new. That's the following verses here. He says, you no longer have to be a sinner because Jesus paid the price so that we can be transformed into a sinner that's saved by grace and mercy, reconciled to God. Jesus saved our souls and made us whole. And the reason why I know is because he died on the hill called Calvary. Because he knew we would need a Savior, being dead to sin and conformed. The old man conformed to the world. The old man adapted to his surroundings. I don't know about you, but I used to live a life that and said that God know my heart. I did whatever I wanted to do and then came home and said, God know my heart. And that's true. He did. And that was before I was a Christian. I was lost. I was a dead man walking until I heard the truth. Until I heard how Jesus died on the hill called Calvary for the sins, for my lack of knowledge, for me. While I was separated in sin, Christ died. And he commanded his disciples. They said the disciples turned the world upside down. The world, not the city. The world upside down. They went out and preached this gospel to tell people like me that was lost in sin, that was a dead man walking, that I no longer have to be that way. Christ paid the price. They took him up Calvary's hill and they nailed him, put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, put him on that cross for me. They put him on that cross for you too, Brother Stride. They put him on that cross for each of you that's on under the sound of my voice. But before that, they whipped him, but he had you in mind. And then he hung on that cross for 6 long hours. This was our God. He could have called thousands of angels to come save him, but why didn't he? Because he knew that you needed a Savior. And then they took him down from that cross, but first they pierced him in his side, and it says, the scripture says, out came blood and water. That same blood and water. That blood and water washes us from our sins, and that blood purchased his church. That's the process that we have to follow. We have to contact that blood to call ourselves a child of God. So now Jesus can now be our big brother. And he gave us an example. So when we were yet, while we were dead to sin, Christ died for sin. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. We are buried in a watery grave of baptism. Why? To contact that blood that separates us from the Father. And when we rise out of that water, Christ rose up the third day. Early on Sunday morning, he got up with all of the power in his hand and said, go preach this. Go teach it to all nations. And when we obey that, we rise and we walk in newness of life, and God, based on that obedience, adds us to his church. Romans 16:16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It is only one that you can read about in the Bible. It is only one that allow you to be transformed to a new creature. And it's not until then that you can become a new creature in Christ. And you may be on this call today. You may be a Christian and you just been living in your old ways. The scripture says that you must confess your faults to one another. And God is just to forgive you. We pray for one another. The song we sing, sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage one another. And if you've never been baptized, or you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you still have blood pumping in your veins. Now is the time that you get it right. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you must hear. Hear what? The gospel. I just told you the story about the gospel. Then you must believe it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And then Luke 13:3, you must do a 180. I'm tired of walking in these old ways. I want a new life. I want to change. I want to be transformed. So you do a 180 and you start walking the other way. You repent. Luke 13:3 says, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then you must make the confession. Matthew 10:32, Acts 8:37. What confession do we make? That I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, Acts 2:38, you will be baptized. You will be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then you will be added to the blood-bought institution, the Church of Christ. God adds you. We don't add you. Your obedience adds you to his church. And you must live faithful unto death. And then when he returns, he can say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, you have a choice. And you can make the choice to renew your minds daily, become a new creature in Christ. And you have that choice to renew your minds daily. Every day is a new day. You can be better today than you were yesterday. Set your affection on things above. Focus on God. And I'm going to leave you with one acronym. PPP. And no, it's not the PPP, Payroll Protection Program alone. When you're going through something, just think PPP. Pause and pray with patience. That's my message to you all on this hour. And it is my prayer that something was said that will strengthen your walk as a Christian, or ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Amen.